God is so wonderful till I don't know how you can go through the day without loving the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And then when you come to church knowing that you're in God's house, most assuredly then you really want to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. He's so good. He always makes the provisions that we need, supplies our every need. Let us pray, pray, pray. Always pray. The Bible said men should pray and not faint. It's so easy to faint, but the Bible tells us that we should pray and not faint. Always pray. We've been talking quite a bit as of late about the righteousness which is by Christ and not by the law. You know, there's so many people in the world that they're heretics. The Bible speaks of heretics, and there are a lot of people that are heretics, and we're taught that after the first and second admonition that we should reject heretics. So, once you admonish a person one time, and then you admonish them twice, then after that second admonition, you should reject them because they are heretics. That is, if they don't respond to the truth and they want to come back with something that's not right. And I've had so many people that tries to tell me that the law is still in effect and you have to serve the law and keep the law. All across the nation, the different parts of the world are running to people that say you have to keep the law. And I've tried for a number of years to tell my people that it's not necessary for them to try to keep the law of Moses. That's not necessary. Because the Bible speaks of the righteousness of God, which is without the law. And it tells us that there is no flesh that shall be justified by the law. Not even the Lord Jesus, who kept every jot and every tittle. Not even he could be justified by the law. For the Bible said, no flesh shall be justified by the law, that no flesh shall glory in his sight. And though Jesus kept every jot and tittle, he could not be justified by the law. Had he been justified by the law, he could not have been our example as under grace. So then, we understand that there is a righteousness that exceeds and excels the law. It is a true fact that this righteousness could not come forth until every jot and tittle of the law was fulfilled. And that is true. That we could not have this righteousness until every jot and every tittle of the law was fulfilled. Because not one jot nor tittle should pass away till all of the law was fulfilled. And once the law was fulfilled, then it was taken away. And I remind you again to always consider this in your thoughts. The law was not brought for salvation. The law was not given for salvation. The Bible said the law was added because of transgression. That is, the law was added or given to reveal your misdemeanors of life, or to reveal what you had done contrary to God. Because before God sent the law is to tell me that I should not kill, I should not steal, I should not commit adultery, I should not lie, I should not covet. Before he sent this, I was guilty of sin, but I knew nothing of my sins. But when the law came, then I learned about my sins. And that's why Paul said that the law, which I thought to be unto life, became death unto me. And he spoke again of that law. The law, he said, of sin. That it reveals sin. The law of sin and death. I would never have known sin, he said, except by the law. It's by the law that sin was revealed to me. But he said, before the law came, I had a confidence toward God. I felt like, you know, I'm a human being. God made me. He's responsible for me. And here I am. And he said, I was somewhat alive with that hope. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. And that which was ordained unto life, I found to be unto death, because truly the law was ordained for life, that we might have life. Those things that we're told in the law are the things that help us to escape death. Just like the laws of the land, they help you to escape death. They're given so that you can escape death. But if you disobey the law, then you suffer the penalty of the law. So then we find, again, the Bible said what the law could not do, in that I was weak in the flesh as to perform these things. Or it is said what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending a human body, a human image. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, made a sinful image, smote the image, delivered it up from my offenses as for my sins, smote it, he'd done away with it, and forever and eternally sin is gone to them that believe on him. For that body went for my offenses, it went down, it was smitten of God, we've seen him smitten of God. Then he was raised again for my justification. So Jesus is alive from the dead. As a human being, he is alive from the dead. And because one man has survived and come up from the dead, I am forever alive from the dead. Because I am that body of the bone and flesh. So then, I say these things just before we read to you, that you might understand there is a righteousness which is by faith. And this righteousness is of God. And this is why that God did not receive the Jewish people. For they were trying to establish their own righteousness by honoring and obeying the law. When he told them that no flesh would be justified by the law. But they continued their ritualistics, and they do till today, being blinded in part. They don't understand. When you say blinded in part, I say again, Moses saw the hinder part of God, so the Jews see up to Calvary. But the part from Calvary on as to faith and the righteousness of the Son of God, they're blinded to that. That's the part that they're blinded to. Even the front part is to see him face to face and be changed into his glory and into his image. So then we're going to read just a little bit here and point out a few thoughts. Chapter 1 in the book of Romans. It's in the 17th verse. For therein, speaking of the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, skipping over a few verses here so that I can call something to your attention. In the second chapter, the 12th verse, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. That's that continual warfare. In the day when God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee? Who but the letter in circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So then, we see that there is a righteousness that God has given to us. And this righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Going about to establish our own righteousness. People still do that today. There's many hundreds and thousands of people. People in the Baptist church. People in the Methodist church. People in the Catholic church. People in the Pentecostal church. They're still trying to establish their own righteousness. I've tried to explain to you that because we're justified by faith, that does not mean that we are to quit trying to be holy and godly and pure in the sight of God. The Bible said, be holy for I am holy. And the Bible teaches that we are to have good works, to let our light shine that men may see our good works. So there are works. But I try to point out to you that these works are not as under justification of your soul or of your spirit, that these works are to build a confidence of heart that you are trying to please God, that it builds a confidence of heart that you're sincerely trying to honor God and please God. And this confidence of heart becomes faith. For the Bible said if we do the things that please Him, then we assure our heart. And then do we have confidence toward God. And when we ask God of something, we receive of God. Because this is our confidence, that we know He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition we desire of Him. So all of my works, all of my conformity unto works are under the image of God, or under His likeness, is to let Him know that I am in harmony. I am in harmony with what He is doing. If a man drove out from the nearby city and he came to you as an individual and he says, look, I don't want you to have to walk to town. It's too far. So then I've driven out here in my vehicle. He opens the door and he says, step in. You don't have to do anything but step in. Everything's all ready. You just step into the vehicle. I'll close the door and away we'll go. See, the least that you could do is honor the man. Try to conform to his desire and step into the car. See, and that's what God has done. God has done everything for you. And He's standing there. There stands a royal chariot with prancing horses of fire as in the days of Elijah. And the door is open. And the bridegroom is saying, come. Come. See, and the door is open. And he's saying, the supper is now ready. I've finished everything. It is finished. Now everything is ready. Will you come? See, and then for us not to make an effort to be like him, to think like him, to follow him, to go his way, to try to fulfill his desire, to let him know our appreciation for what he's done, would be just plain ignorance on our part. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. So then, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. If he's ready, I'm ready. I'm ready. You remember the song I wrote? I think maybe it was in California preaching. And I wrote the song, Oh Dear Jesus, Why Do You Take So Long? And he answered me back immediately. And he said, I'm ready whenever you're ready. And he told me, said, you're the one that's not ready. Said, whenever you get ready, then we'll go. So then, it is true that he waits patiently for the fruit of the earth. Through patience and long suffering, he waits for the fruit of the earth, for the fruit, for the fields to yield its harvest. So then the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And we are called to the supper of the Lord, and we're called to the righteousness of God, which is by faith. That is to say, God hath wrought the righteousness. God hath done what's necessary for me to have salvation. And all I have to do is believe in what he hath done. I don't merit anything. He hath done everything that pleased the heavenly Father by the sins of one man, even Adam, that displeased God through the weakness of his wife as to disobedience. All men are under the penalty of death. But by the spirit and righteousness and obedience of one man, even the Lord Jesus Christ, so hath life come upon us all. So then he is resurrected. He was bruised for my iniquities. He was chastened for my peace. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, by whose stripes I am healed. All of us had gone astray like lambs, but the Lord bruised him. It pleased God to bruise him in my behalf. Now then, if he's been bruised in my behalf, and if God's chastening him in my behalf, and if he's done all that I need to do as for my healing, as for my salvation, then why should I try to go and do those things when he's already taken care of that? So then, my peace, I have peace like a river. I have eternal peace because he was chastened so that I could have this peace. I have my deliverance. I have my healings because God bruised him so that he would not have to bruise me. And today, I am one of those that dwell in heaven. Having passed from death unto life, I now dwell in the wonderful peace of God, able by the righteousness of God to keep myself that the evil one will touch me not. So then, being born of God, the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. How did I get this? By works? Paul said, if it be by works, then we should be boasting, because that's what the Jews did. Some of them said, I thank thee, God, that I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all I possess. I'm not like other men. I pray. Long prayers, I pray. But the Bible said there wasn't any justification in the sight of God for that. The other man said, Lord, I have nothing to offer. Forgive me. Help me. Save me, O God. And the Bible said his faith, his confidence toward God, that God would accept that, brought the righteousness of God, and that man went away justified rather than the other. For if it's of works, then we should boast. But if it be of faith, then where is boasting? It is excluded by the law of faith. So then, on the inside, I believe with my heart unto righteousness. What do I mean by believing unto righteousness? It means that I believe unto his works. When they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God. Believe on him that the Father has sent. For these works were finished from the foundation of the world. The names were written down in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. And I'm here to tell you that you are elect, that the door is open, the supper is ready. All is ready for you. And I bid you come to this supper. Come to this great marriage supper. Put on the wedding garment. Make yourself ready and come to this supper. That great wedding garment is the body of Jesus. As many as been baptized into him, they have put on Christ. And the Bible teaches that this is the wedding garment. That body was tried in the fire. It went through the fire to save me from having to go through the fire. And so then he said, I counsel of you to bring me raiment that was tried in the fire. And that if you come in without the wedding garment to this supper, you'll be bound hand and feet by the powers of darkness, by the powers of evil, by your carnal reasoning, and you'll be cast into outer darkness. And the Bible said there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Bind that servant. Cast him into outer darkness. So then we find that God has given us righteousness by faith with the heart. I believe in the works of Jesus Christ, the finished works of Jesus Christ, which is my righteousness. And the Bible says when he, my righteousness, appears, then I shall be like him. For the hope within me is that hope of glory. Even Christ within me, the hope of that glory. That when he appears, I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. And the Bible said, every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself, even as he is pure, because that is faith. And so with the heart, I believe unto righteousness. And then I boldly stand and say, I believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe that God hath bruised him and chastened him that I could have peace. And God hath smitten him that I might have salvation. So then with the heart I believe unto that righteousness, and with my lips I confess unto salvation, because from the heart the mouth speaketh. So I make my confession unto salvation, thus the Holy Spirit comes into my heart. That's how simple it is. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then I believe unto righteousness with my heart. And then I make my confession unto salvation with my lips. And then the Spirit of Christ comes into my heart. See, so I find myself holy and godly. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works by faith. Abraham was justified as to the father of the faithful. So then God blessed Abraham, imputed Abraham's faith unto him for works. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. That is to say, by the body of Jesus, my sins are gone. The body of this death. God has crucified the Son of God as a human body. And that ended my body of conflict, my body of contrariness. And now the body of that death is forever gone. And God smote him. Today I have no more conflict with the body. Though I continually have conflict with the body, there's not a day that goes by but what I have conflict with the body. And there's a continual warfare between my inner man, which is sealed by the great Holy Spirit, and my outer man, which is born of Adam as unto death. It never stops. But though it doesn't stop, there's not one thing of that body that's ever charged against me. Never. All the day long it wars. Sister Dale sang that song, I battled Satan from the sun up. And then at sundown, I sang victory songs. See, it's always there. When I would do good, evil is always present with me. For there's no good thing within the body. But today, that body is dead. It's gone. Let Satan say what he will. Let him attack my mind and say what he will to my mind as to accusations. Let him accuse me. Let him entice me. Let him try to allure me. But I won't go his way. I won't listen to him. Paul says here, their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. My thoughts always either accuses or excuses. That is to say, there is a continual warfare within my thoughts. And the law, the righteousness of the law, is fulfilled in my heart. So then I find myself free from the law of sin and death, because the law hath power over a man as long as he liveth. But if the man be dead, there is no more power of the law. A woman is bound to her husband by the law so long as he liveth. But if he be dead, then she is no more under the law of her husband, and she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. So then we find that there is a law that is of sin and death that's reminding me of my mistakes and constantly accusing me, making war with my confidence and faith of heart toward God's righteousness and His love. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me, Paul said, from this body, from the body of this death? I am a wretched man. When I would do good, evil is always present with me. I want to think a good thought and filth is there. I want to have love and compassion, and dirtiness and filth and ugliness crowds the mind and accuses the mind. See, but that part is dead. It's gone. It's not there. The Bible said, don't give place to that, not for one minute. When those thoughts come, or any enticement or whatever it might be, don't give place, no, not for one minute. Don't let Satan or sin reign in your mortal body, because your body is dead because of sin. So don't listen to that. Go on your way making melody in your heart to God, singing unto God, saying wonderful things unto God. You know, how great thou art. Oh my God, how great thou art. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, and from you, Satan, I'm free. See, accusing all the time. You don't have to listen to that. You don't have to pay any attention to that. You just walk on from mountaintop to mountaintop, walk over all of that filth, all of that ugliness, all of those things, because He is the prince of the powers of the air, and He seeks to trample down the minds of humanity. But you must elude that, and you must evade that, and you must not acknowledge that to give place to that, not at any time. You must never do that. So then we find that we are those with the victory. He always gives us the victory, the Bible says. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. As to your confidence in His righteousness, by which the Holy Spirit comes and purifies your heart. For your bodies, it's the temple of the Lord. And God wants to walk in it and talk in it and dwell in it. And this is the preaching that we preach, that Christ is in you the hope of glory. And if another comes preaching to you that Christ is not within the human body, or the Spirit of God does not tabernacle in the human being, that man is an antichrist. Because we confess that Christ Jesus has come in the flesh. Not only as a human body at Calvary to die for you and I, but in your flesh, as to walk in your flesh and to talk in you, as to lead and to guide you into all truth and righteousness, and to be a comforter unto you when you have problems and have misery. So the righteousness of God, which is by the law. Should I then sin? God forbid. Should I go do things that are evil? God forbid. How can I, that am dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not, Paul said, as to whomsoever you subject your body to, or life to, his servants ye are, and that is what you must obey, whether unto life or as unto death. So then, I must do all good things. I must bear good tidings. I must carry joy unspeakable. I must do good works. I must keep my vessel clean. Not that it's going to profit me in the sense of my salvation. My salvation was wrought in Christ before the world ever was, by the Lamb slain, in God making Him what He wanted me to be. And He wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But when I come to acknowledge it, when I come to know it, when I come to realize that I am a sanctified, holy, godly, pure, perfected forever saint of God, then from that time on, I don't want my body to be contrary anymore. From that time on, I don't want any fellowship with the devil. See, why would you, if you had $1 million, want to take somebody along that looked like a grease monkey? Why would you want to take somebody along that was ugly and degraded in their thoughts and in their minds and filthy in their body? That everywhere you went, that person would reproach you. And that person was always reaching over, trying to take what you had and slipping out that which you had and stealing from you. Satan is a thief and a robber. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Why would you want to take that with you all the time when you don't have to do that? See why? Now, wouldn't you want to do that? Sure you would want to do that. Because you could have the $1 million, you could have the prestige, you could go out and do what you want to and wouldn't have that messy, mucky thing with you all the time trying to kill you or steal or take away from you. See, and that's the way it is when we come to know that we're a son of God. Why walk with the devil? Why listen at the devil? Why go the way of the devil? Why take him everywhere you go with his old dirty, filthy talk and his old dirty, filthy desire? Kill him out. Get rid of him. Put him aside. The Bible said, draw nigh to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Because God has cast him out for your sake. It's like TV. You know, we're on TV ministering, carrying the gospel, whether preaching or whatever. If I come up here, I'm a minister. I don't want to come up here looking like a millionaire, you know. I don't want to come up here trying to prove to people how brilliant that I am, how rich that I am. I want to come up here in simplicity and talk to them as my fellow man, as my brother. Meet them on, you know, just a down-to-earth level. But at the same time, I want to be presentable. I don't want to be dirty and I don't want to be filthy. I don't want to have a filthy body. I want decent clothes on. Not to try to be attractive as to clothing, but to be decent and presentable. I want to be that same way in my mind before God and before the angels. I want to be decent. I want to be presentable. Them that work with me in the programs, whether it's overseas, in the church, before the audience on TV, I expect them to make a little special effort in their clothing, in their presentation to the public. And not say, well, bless God, I don't care, you know, I'm just nonchalant. Because it won't be long, I'll just nonchalant right out. See, I expect them to look presentable. When you come to church, I expect you to try to look presentable. If you was a very poor person and you didn't have any raiment, as some of the people that are running to overseas, then I wouldn't expect that of you. I'd be trying to provide you some clothing. But I'm just saying, see, we can be clean and we can be holy. It isn't going to do us any good to try to be clean and holy as to our salvation. But it's going to do us a lot of good in that it will please God and build confidence that brings faith in the righteousness which does cleanse and purify. So, I'm doing these things that inner glory, that great majesty of God, that radiance of heaven, that light most precious, might penetrate my genes and penetrate my outer being, and the glory of God might be seen, even as it was when they beheld Stephen's faith as an angel, or when they saw Jesus glorified on the mountain, or when they could not look upon Moses' face, the righteousness which is by Christ Jesus. So then this wonderful righteousness that we see, we know and we understand, God has given it unto us. And this is by faith. And I could go on and go on tonight, but I'm not going to hold you any longer. We're going to stop along here. I could just go on and go on with the wonderful thoughts as to righteousness by faith, detailing it a little more and a little more to where you could understand it a little better and use your faith in a far greater way. But nevertheless, I just want you to know that we are saved by the grace of God. It's just what He by mercy done. You're saved by mercy. You're saved by His grace. Just what He gracefully did for you. And that through believing in that grace or mercy. All that is, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. And beloved friend, let me tell you, the body is dead because of sin. It's gone. It doesn't matter how much it harasses you, what it says. It has nothing to do with your salvation or your success in life. It's what the inner man says. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh within his heart, So he is. So you want to be sure that you keep your heart. Do your diligence to keep your heart. For out of your heart comes forth the issues of life. And I remind you again, God's eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their behalf. For that is to say, if he can find an upright in heart, that's where faith is. And faith reaches out and takes the answer right out of God's hand. God's strong and mighty for them because there's faith and an upright heart. So then do thy diligence to keep thine heart. The Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And who can know it? All right, let's stand together. Glad that you come tonight to listen. Appreciate your kind attention. I know it's hot. I know you're uncomfortable. When the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching, sing with me now. When the moon turns into blood, when the moon turns into blood, oh Lord, I want to be in the number. When the moon turns, sing that with me. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want in that number. When the saints go marching in, when the sun refuses to shine, oh, when the sun refuses chooses to shine, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the sun refuses, can you sing that with me? Oh, when the saints go marching in, so when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Let's sing this little chorus together, Sister Dale. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Oh, time religion, it's good enough. It makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. And it's good enough. Can you sing that one? So give me that old time religion. That old time religion. Old time religion,
good enough for me.
Oh, give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion,
good enough for me.
It makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy, and it's good enough
for me.
So give me that old time religion.
Old time religion.
Old time religion. Good enough for me. Give me that old time religion.
old-time religion.
Old-time religion, it's good enough for me.
It will take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven, and it's good enough for me. I've got that
old-time religion.
Old-time religion.
Old-time religion, it's good enough for me.
I've got that
old-time religion.
Old-time religion.
Old-time religion, and it's good enough for me.
Better get that old-time religion. Get the old-time religion. We've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, and it's good enough. Sing with me now. It will take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven, and it's better get that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Get the old-time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. Let's get in my hand. The old-time religion. Right, we're going to sing this little chorus, and the altars, they're open. If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Though the road is rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you. Sing that with me. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, 'cause there's the mountain top.
When we get up on the hill,
you'll be so glad you tried.
Then together we can
praise the Lord. We'll shout down the other side. Sing it. You'll move on for just a little bit. I'll lend you a helping hand.
I know the road is rough and steep,
but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. Sing it now. If I
help you carry your load,
you won't
have to stop. Lift up your eyes and
look ahead, 'cause there's the mountain top. When we stand upon
the hill, you'll be so glad you tried. Then together
we will praise the Lord and shout down the other
side. Sing it with me now.
You'll move on for just a little bit. I'll lend you a helping hand.
Although the road is rough and long,
but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road.
So
you'll move on for just a little bit.
I'll
help you one more time.
Just a minute, if you have me, I know the road seems rough and hard.
been down that same old road.
So if you
move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load.
One more time.
And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. There,
can't you just see that mountaintop that just goes all through me?
We get up on the hill,
you'll be so glad you tried. And together we can praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Behold.
So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Though the road is rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load.
Let's give the Lord a hand. You know, when we sing these songs, my soul gets excited because this is real to me. And I get happy on the inside. And my, I feel like I'm just a little 16-year-old boy just skipping along. Oh, hallelujah. I can feel that when I say that. I just chuckle on the inside and something just breaks loose down in there. And I just feel so good. I think, oh my God, the thing is all over and it's finished. And I don't never have to die. Never have problems, never no more, never no more, never no more. All things work together for my good. That's what caused me to start dancing when I was preaching to them people over there. Many times I dance, you don't see it, you know. And up here I just kind of hold myself because my feet just get to want to go up and down like that. I feel so good. My, it feels so wonderful down on the inside. This thing is not an intellectual conviction with me. It's something that's exhilarating all through my body. I feel an activation of God, you know, and I feel Him furbishing and refurbishing over and over. And I feel illuminated with that wonderful glory of joy unspeakable. Can we sing it one more time now? So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you the helping hand. Think now, God's going to give you a helping hand. But together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry that load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Can you give Him a wave offering? Hallelujah. To the mountaintop.
When we get up on the hill,
you'll be so glad you tried. And together we're going to praise the Lord and shout down.
Sing it again with me.
You'll move over just a little bit. God will give you the helping hand. Know this one. Rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through.
I've been
down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you.
Stop and think just a minute. You know, Betty and I have been down some hard trails. And we've been down some roads that we can help you if you'll let us. And the Lord, He has been down all those trails. And He's got something for you. And He'll lend you a helping hand. He'll give to you the helping hand. He'll do that because He's been through every bit of that. And I'm trying to teach you here at Bethlehem that if we stick together, if we stay together, then we can help one another. And we can make it. Together, together, we can stand. I want to sing that again now. I want you to sing it with me. Remember, put your hand in His tonight.
So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you that helping hand.
Could you do that?
that to somebody. Could you lend them a helping hand?
But together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. Been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, 'cause there's the mountain top. And when we stand upon that hill, you'll be so glad you tried. For together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. The road is rough and long, but together you can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road.
While we sing this again, I want you to turn around and take somebody's hand when we say, I'll lend you a helping hand. We're going to sing it again.
So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. I know the road is rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit. I'll help you carry your load.
One more time.
And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead. Call there's the mountaintop. And when you stand upon the top, you'll be so glad that you've tried. And together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side.
Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, to love the Lord, to walk together, and to do something for Jesus. To let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let's lift our hands up. Close our eyes. And let's sing together. And this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath. Can you sing that with me? We've entered into the day of the Lord. This is the day. Do you really believe this is the day? The Bible speaks of entering into his rest. And on that day, he rested from all his work. Rejoice. I'll be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has. One more time. This is the day.
This is the day.
day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad, for this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
One more time together now.
For this is the day.
Give him a wave off.
This is the day that my Lord has made.
That the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Father, Lord of heaven, lay thy hands on my sister tonight. Father, she's been brought up from a little girl in this wonderful, wonderful salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I'm praying that within her heart and in her soul, God, that she can reach thee with joy and peace, with confidence. I feel the anointing breaking the yoke right now, Father. I feel it breaking the yoke. Come into this heart. Come into this life. Come into this heart and into this life. Oh God, fill her with your love. In Jesus Christ's name, Father, to heal, to save, to forgive, bless her little family. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has.
One more time.
For I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it, glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it, for this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Feeling the wonderful presence of God tonight reminds me of what Rosalie said today. We're sitting at dinner, Betty, myself, Rosie, and some of the others. And she said, you know, said you sure could feel the Spirit in that service this morning, couldn't you? Let's give the Lord a hand. She said, sometimes I go to the places where they're dead. God's wonderful. She's just retired from a government. She's been working for the government and retired from the job. And it's real unusual for her to come into things that are spiritual. She was with the Jim Baker PTL for a long time. And I knew that she was going to get hurt, but I couldn't say anything. Smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. But she was telling me today how that she bought 3 lifetime memberships. And of course, you know, the disappointment those people run into because of the problem. All right. Going to close. We're going to sing the little chorus we sing so often. Time no more. If this is the day of the Lord, and that means time has gone on by. 6 days he worked, and on the 7th he rested from all his work. And he swore that they that did not honor him and love him would not enter into his rest. So then the Bible said, fear, that is fear to do wrong, lest there be taken away from you the opportunity to have entered into his rest. Seeing that those that came out of Egypt did not enter in because of unbelief, let us therefore fear, lest we fall after the same example of unbelief and fail to enter into the rest of the Lord. I preach to you the righteousness of God. If you come into this knowledge, then you're going to believe that you're saved by faith and not by works. And you'll lay aside all of that and you'll believe your way into this wonderful rest of Almighty God. All right, let's sing together. Okay? Let me tell you, do something for the Lord. Do something for the Lord. If you haven't done anything for the Lord, do something for the Lord. Do something for the Lord. God wants you to do something for Him. Do something for the Lord. Pray a little bit. Fast a little bit. Give to God a little bit. Share with the Lord. Share with the poor. Share with the needy. Take up a little bit of your time to do something for God. Take time to be holy. You're never going to find time, but take time to be holy. Appreciate my little girl standing here. They're so lovely. They're so pretty. I see the women in the long dresses and the little girls in the long dresses, and I think how ignorant people are out yonder that go around in dresses like they do. They look so funny. They look freakish. But I thank God for people that have intelligence and understanding. And I appreciate the ladies that try to dress clean and decent so that they can be a great testimony. Some of them, they make a special effort to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus as to a light most precious. And I thank the men that dress decently that try to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. And I thank God for people that have the testimony of Christ as to saying the right things, using wisdom in the presence of people, that people may see your wisdom. When they went into Canaan, God said, "And this shall be the fear that I will place upon the people. They will be afraid of you because of your wisdom." And folks, we're supposed to have the greatest understanding, the greatest that's ever been given to human beings. Let us therefore use this wonderful wisdom and understanding in our dressing, in our talk, in our conversation, in our fellowship. And let's shun the very appearance of evil and have nothing to do with those unfruitful works of darkness, but let's reprove them. Can you do that for me? All right, let's sing this song together, can we? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land down. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land. Can you sing with me again? When time shall be no more, no more, when time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. I'm going to sing it once again while Brother David Burden comes up here to dismiss us. Let's sing it one more time, can we? And time shall be no, no.